This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment on the topic of mind controls everything. Is this prayer treatment about what one experiences? No. Is it about what one does regarding what one experiences? Yes. There are three quotes at the beginning of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which is the textbook of Christian Science. The first one is, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one, by Shakespeare, "There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one by Mary Baker Eddy, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Thinking about the second one, that's exactly what this prayer treatment is all about. How are we going to assess something that has already been experienced or observed, and what kind of an impact is that going to make on our experience beginning right now? Everyone faces challenges. The key point, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to view it? How are we going to make any modifications that are necessary to not repeat any unfavorable experience? Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, says, "Let us make man after our image and likeness." And then it says, "And so God made man in his image and likeness." We have to be willing to open the door. If we're going to have our consciousness closed, we can't move forward and up to a higher level of spiritual understanding. This is true with everything in life. We have to let an improvement be visualized, be accepted. Mary Baker Eddy defines God on page 465 as incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On 587, God is the great I am, all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. On the same page, she defines good, G-O-O-D, as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. She defines man as the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. If you connect those dots, we have the power, because God gave us dominion. That's part of the verse starting with 26. I didn't read that part, but it's a couple of verses down. That God gave man dominion over all the earth, even over the birds, and everything that's creeping under the earth, everything in the water, everything. Because God gave man intelligence. It's not physical power that controls, it is intelligence, mental capacity. And God is infinite, and God is all intelligence. So there is no limit to the intelligence we can reflect. It also states that God is all faculty. So we have the faculty of remembering and activating, taking any action that is needed about anything that is for the purpose of benefiting humanity. There's no power that comes from God to do evil. You are out of the realm of God if you're going to submit by being weak and doing something evil. There's no protection from God at all if you're outside of the realm of reality. The only thing that is real is goodness. We want to stay in that realm in order to be obeying the laws of God. When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." He was asked for one commandment. So he's giving the two of them as one because they're united. You cannot love God unless you love your neighbor. The Bible says if we don't love the visible, we can never love the invisible. God is invisible. God is all spiritual qualities. Your brother is someone you can touch, at least to believe, because the real communication is mental. So how are we going to assess any experience at all? Are we going to act like Jesus did? If he saw someone that had a problem, it doesn't matter what it was, sin, sickness, even death. He saw them as sinless, pure, and alive. And that's how he healed them. He visualized them as the spiritual image and likeness of God, not as a human that was suffering because of the belief that Adam and Eve were the real father and mother of the humanity. He knew Genesis 1 was the truth. Before it talks about Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, it says there went up a mist. Have you ever been in a mist that is so thick, like a thick fog, you could not see your hand if you held it up in front of your face? I have. That's what kind of thing we're dealing with before there's any story about Adam and Eve at all. We are not of the heritage of Adam and Eve. I don't care what anyone says about us being born a sinner. They're ignoring what it says in Genesis chapter 1. At the end of it there, which ends in verse 3, chapter 2, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, it was very good." I recited to you a moment ago about what good means. Good is God, spirit. Spirit. That's not something physical. We are not physical. The real us is a spiritual image and likeness of God. That gives us the ability to assess everything as Jesus did. But we need to practice. We need to overcome the long history of the fake news about our heritage. Because our real heritage is a son or daughter of God, not an object of Adam and Eve. I mean, who would sensibly believe that they could take some part out of inside of a man and make a woman out of it? And then it is expected that one is going to believe that we were born a sinner, because Adam and Eve were considered sinners. So we're going to be born a sinner, picking up the heritage of Adam and Eve. I was raised in Christian Science. There was never anyone that told me that I was born a sinner. I attended Sunday school that was taught by someone besides my parents. My parents never once made such a statement. It was foreign to me when I first heard it. I thought, what do you mean you're born a sinner? No one could be born a sinner. In fact, is the truth ever born? Or has the truth always been true? If it's always been true, there was no birth. There was no creation. Mary Baker Eddy gives the spiritual sense of chapter 1. And she says, when it says in the beginning, that translates to mean in the only. And instead of creation, she says, think about that being a revelation. In other words, something has been revealed to us that we did not realize existed previously. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Truth has always been true. It didn't become true just because we got involved thinking about it. It's always been true. Are we going to let the truth awaken us to what has already been true? Never was anything but true. Frederick L. Rawson, a genius of a Christian Scientist, said that discovering something is only discovering a rearrangement of the truth that has always been true, to bring forth what appears to be something that has never been known before. But it's not like the so-called discoverer or inventor, whatever you want to call them, that they actually found something that just became true. They just discovered that it was true. The opening of consciousness is the key difference between whether someone is considered as a discoverer or an inventor versus someone that is not. They let it enter into their consciousness that there could be something better, and they wanted to dig to find it, or they wanted to rearrange things so that it would come out to the perfect combination. Like someone playing music, they have to have everything in alignment in order for the music to sound the way the composer had intended it to sound. You can't play or listen to the music at the end before listening to it throughout. And you can't take something out of the middle and put it at the beginning and expect it to sound like the composer intended. Everything has a specific order, and we can't mess with that. We can't alter that in any way. We should be recognizing, after we discover it, the beauty of it. Everything that is done, everything that we observe, there is a beauty to it. Even if the beauty may be to remind us that it's not true. Like the good and bad gardener. The good gardener was very well educated and practiced his knowledge about gardening in a perfect manner. The one who managed the garden of the estate next door to him was pretty much of a failure. He had never learned the principles of gardening, let alone about the specific uniqueness of the various plants, where some needed more water or less water, or different nutrients in the soil, so forth. So he took the easy route and thought he could just steal plants from his neighbor whenever one of his plants died. But he had really no knowledge about the way gardening should be conducted as a profession. And he apparently did not go to the trouble to learn. So the good gardener considered him his best friend because he reminded him to be alert to not permit evil thoughts to enter into himself, into his life, the way he conducted himself with his thought, speech, or action. Mary Baker Eddy calls Jesus the way shower. He himself stated that he's not God. Mark 10:17-18, a Pharisee asked him, "Good master, how shall I obtain eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why call me thou good? There is none good but one, God." Yet, most of the Christian churches teach that Jesus is God. Do you really think that God, which is omnipresent, omnipotent, and spirit, is going to put himself inside a woman's body? Who's going to be conducting the affairs of God all the time while all this is taking place, not to mention the 30 years until he began his ministry? There just is no common sense at all used in a number of things that are taught by most Christian churches. People just blindly accept it. They're not even using the intelligence that God gave them the capacity to use. God, through the faculty of mind, gives us all capacity that we need for any challenge we have. Are we going to do every good activity and give total credit to the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? Or are we going to take personal credit? How does Mary Baker Eddy define I or ego in the glossary? On page 588, I or ego, divine principle, spirit, soul, incorporeal, unerring, immortal, and eternal mind. There is but one I or us, but one divine principle or mind governing all existence. Man and woman unchanged forever in their individual characters, even as numbers which never blend with each other, though they are governed by one principle. All the objects of God's creation reflect one mind, and whatever reflects not this one mind is false and erroneous. Even the belief that life, substance, and intelligence are both mental and material. And on that same page, she defines I am God, incorporeal and eternal mind, divine principle, the only ego. On page 597, she defines will, W-I-L-L, the motive power of error, mortal belief, animal power, the might and wisdom of God. For this is the will of God, from 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Will, as a quality of so-called mortal mind, is a wrongdoer, hence it should not be confounded with the term as applied to mind or to one of God's qualities. So as with many definitions in the glossary, she gives a mortal mind interpretation and a spiritual definition. And that's what she does here. She gives will as a mortal mind will, where she says it's the motive power of error, mortal belief, animal power. And as has already been read, but I will repeat for clarification, she further says will as a quality of so-called mortal mind is a wrongdoer. Hence, it should not be confounded with the term as applied to mind and that's a capital M meaning God, or to one of God's qualities. Chapter 14, which is entitled Recapitulation, which means summary, and it's in a format of 24 questions and answers, so it is a summary of chapters 1 through 13. And the glossary is invaluable. It's chapter 17, because if we don't understand the spiritual translation or spiritual sense of how a certain term or character is represented in the Bible, then we could totally misunderstand the whole situation. We must learn the character as it is applied in the circumstance that is explained in the Bible. Science and health provides exactly that. Studying the Bible with its companion, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, enables an entirely uplifted and additional dimension above what otherwise could be learned, understood, and experienced without it. When we let the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind control our every thought, speech, and action, then we are going to be experiencing what we should be experiencing as the image and likeness of God. And as the definition of man is stated and had been previously recited, man is the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. And it's up to us individually on how much of that we are going to let be our guide. Mary Baker Eddy states this on page 128 under the title of Practical Science. The term science, properly understood, refers only to the laws of God and to His government of the universe, inclusive of man. From this, it follows that businessmen and cultured scholars have found that Christian Science enhances their endurance and mental powers, enlarges their perception of character, gives them acuteness and comprehensiveness, and an ability to extend their ordinary capacity. The human mind imbued with this spiritual understanding becomes more elastic, is capable of greater endurance, escapes somewhat from itself, and requires less repose. A knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. It is up to each one individually to work out their own salvation, and as a part of that, each moment needs to be assessed if there is an opportunity or a challenge, so that the most can be made out of whatever it is that comes one's way. This treatment on the topic of mind controls everything will conclude with a prayer entitled Diapason of Heaven with a focus on mind, which is a prayer Mary Baker Eddy gave to her students of her final class in 1898. Of the Metaphysical College. The first part is a quote from Miscellaneous Writings, page 206. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven. Good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. It continues with the rest of the prayer. We can declare often, Divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. It is Thursday, October 9, 2025, at 18:22. Thank you for listening to this extemporaneous prayer treatment on the topic of Mind Controls Everything. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute website is mbeinstitute.org. The end.